Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. I don't want to discriminate bad people. We love everyone who wants to learn more about digital marketing, what's working today, what doesn't, how to find the right way. And today we have a great topic about podcasting, about voice, and we want to humanize this topic, especially today when we have AI. I'm so excited to discuss this topic with Rob Greenley. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. It's great to be here, Anatoly. Yeah.
Oh, for me, it's a big pleasure to learn from you because I know that you have great experience with radio, with podcasts. You are so passionate about that. And we want to touch more about video marketing, how to win on this stage. Rob, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Yeah, if you just go to my website, robgreenley.com, but I've been a podcaster since 2004, so I've been around the industry a long time, and I've worked for lots of podcast hosting platforms. I used to work for Microsoft, ran their Zune podcasting platform, not Zoom, but Zune, Z-U-N-E, and it was a competitor to the iPod that was put out by Microsoft. So I've been in the tech sector. Been working on platforms and working with content for 20 years. So, this evolution of AI and stuff is just another piece of the puzzle along the timeline of this medium. As technology has evolved, it's impacted podcasting, and AI is the next area that's impacting podcasting. And content creators need to think a little bit differently about what they do with AI in the context of creating content. So it's a great topic to talk about today.
Of course, of course. We are two human beings, and we have this podcast, discuss about this topic. Can you tell if AI is ready today to replace humans to start AI podcasts? You know, I want to ask about this question because the last time I can hear a lot about AI influencers, and we have some social media accounts that get high engagement. People love them, and probably in the future they will replace many humans. What do you think about podcasting? Is it ready or not?
Well, I think we're kind of at a point right now where it's not going to replace humans at this point. But I do think the quality and is reaching a level that's pretty good. It's definitely starting to get views and people are paying attention to it. Though it's still missing something, right? It's still missing that human factor that people are used to. And so it has a place right now. I think the big question is, what kind of place does it have 2, 3, 4 years from now, right? How important is it? I think there's a lot of talk about the AI, you know, kind of putting out artificial beings into the ecosystem and competing directly with humans. And I think that's going to happen. I think we're already seeing it happen. The question gets back to is, what is it good for and what is it not good for? And how do humans work with it to maybe make their lives more efficient, maybe scale what they're doing more efficiently without replacing the human kind of presence that is out there that people are accustomed to? And I think that's the real juggle here is what is AI's place as a companion to humans?
Yeah, nice. You mentioned that you worked with Microsoft, and yep. I read some news that Microsoft fired 9,000 people. After that, IBM fired 8,000 people, a lot of people. And I know these big companies usually hire the best. So they hire the best minds, but AI can replace them. So I don't believe that AI can't replace, because it happens now. Oh, yeah. AI is replacing. So can you tell about how we can adapt? I mean, like, of course, we need to drive AI. We need to find the way how to use this tool and to humanize everything what we have. So your tips how to do it right.
Yeah, I think we're still in this phase of exploring how that interface can actually work in reality. And now all these big tech companies have been heading down this path of using automation and AI and robots and all this stuff to replace humans. I think also I saw today that UPS, the shipping company, has put out that they're gonna eliminate 20,000 jobs as they bring in automatic package delivery through robotics or drones as we look to the future. So jobs are going to be replaced by automation. But at the end of the day, automation is not really, it's a replacement for labor, human labor. But it's not a replacement for human thought or human function from the standpoint of the mental side and what that experience is. Now, granted, if you're a content creator, you still have an advantage over AI right now. But if you're doing manual labor, repetitive tasks, things that can be replaced with AI and robotics, yeah, it's going to be a threat to your job, right? So, you know, there's a lot of people talking about how we have to upscale our skills and learn how to integrate AI to make ourselves more effective and more efficient. That is more of a tool approach to what we're using AI for as a replacement for humans. So this labor part, you know, as you think about what like Elon Musk has talked about, is that he wants to make 1 billion robots. Well, what are those 1 billion robots going to be doing? Well, they're going to be doing human labor, right? And that's what the replacement is going to be. But some human labor, it may or may not replace anytime soon. So there's, you know, like plumbers and people that are doing, you know, kind of tasks that are complex that maybe the robots are not capable of doing quite yet. But, you know, those are things that probably will eventually be replaced as well at some point in the future. So how do we evolve our humanness to take advantage of our strengths? And I think one of the areas is being a content creator. And you know, we're talking about this topic today, and it's really relevant to what's happening is the human creativity, the human emotions, the human experience. Because at the end of the day, if robots or automation or AI is making a bunch of content and humans aren't consuming it, well, then the only people that are consuming it is other AIs, right? So is that a valid market for content creation? Is it AIs are creating content for AI consumption, or is content being created for human consumption? And humans want to hear, ideally, more human experiences. Now, some content will lend itself towards AI created, more factual, more content that is trying to deliver a story based on facts or details or and that's AI strength, is knowing lots of information, lots of data. And that's how I've used it too, is that it's a great resource. It's almost like a massive encyclopedia that you have access to help you do deep research, to help you be a better content creator. So, you know, I think it's, and that applies to our work world. So I think we need to integrate our utilization of AI in what we do to make ourselves more efficient and things like that, but not do it in a way that we're fully dependent on it.
Yeah, I hope Elon Musk doesn't build new Terminators, because 1 billion Terminators.
a billion robots. I mean, yeah. If you think about that, I mean,
yeah, it's a lot.
it's interesting, you know. I mean, we'll be walking down the street and there's going to be a great chance that there's going to be robots walking past us. I think we've seen that in the movies. You know, I saw it in the movie I, Robot, with Will Smith, where he's walking down the street and half the people on the street are humanoid robots. So that may be what our future looks like. I don't know what, you know, that time scale is. Maybe it's 10 years or something like that, but it's coming, I think.
Yeah, of course. It's coming. It's coming, because if you check how the last time technologies are growing, they're growing fast, very fast. Even 100 years ago, 200 years ago, that was quite different that we have today. And today, any person, sorry for that, because my daughter decided to visit me. Let's talk about just a few seconds.
Yeah, no, I know it's
come to me. Sorry for that.
Well, this is a classic example of human content versus AI content.
Yeah.
AI would probably never do this.
Yeah, it's real. It's real.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Rob, I will admit that I like some AI content. I watch video YouTube channels with AI content. We create this content. And even I listen some audio podcasts with AI content. It's not like two human beings have the conversation, chat, right. But it's quite good quality.
It is.
I love to listen some episodes about history because with great sound, with good voice. You know. Can you tell for businesses? Because I usually help B2B and we have some SaaS products. Can you tell how to create such content? I mean, like any advice, tools, tips, how to do it right?
Yeah, I think the big thing to think about with creating content for like social media and things like that right now, and there's no one magic formula here. I mean, we're such so much in an era of algorithms. That analyze our content, and it's really increasingly all about length of engagement, what the level of audience kind of participation is, that the algorithms and these algorithms, we're using this term algorithms, but really what it is a form of AI that's doing what's called a machine learning. It's learning about your content and it's analyzing it based on a certain set of priorities, and it's making those decisions about your content and matching it up with other consumers of content that have an interest in that. So in a lot of ways, we're in this era of interest, right? So humans have areas that they gravitate towards. I mean, you can totally see it when you use YouTube, where you go watch one video that may be a little different than what you've done in the past. And all of a sudden you get flooded by a bunch of new videos that are kind of on that same topic line. So the algorithm sees what you're watching and gravitates and pulls you towards consuming more of that same thing, which is a little simplistic to some degree because, you know, just prior to that, you were interested in some other area of topic that it was driving videos to you. So in some ways it's still a little bit rudimentary in how it thinks about human interest, where it kind of like swings from the fences, right? Or it kind of swings from the chandelier from one thing to the next, and it's not really taking into account the complexity of the human interest chart.
Yeah.
So that's creating an environment where we're really being gravitated towards what the hot shiny thing is in your interest path. And so, you know, it's difficult to navigate this. So what we have to do as creators is the only thing we really can do is create content that resonates with us as a creator, and then also create it in a way that is valuable. And that audience sees it as valuable content that they get something from, or takes the topic that you're covering in a different direction. Maybe it's more in depth. Maybe it's more value packed of sorts. Might be the way to look at it. But value is very subjective too. You know, one person may see a video, it's not very important to me. Another person might see it as, yeah, that's really a great video and a great kind of experience. So it's all over the map. And the same thing with podcasting too. Podcasting is going to follow this trend as well. Podcasting as a medium today doesn't have the level of technology and algorithms that a YouTube has, but I do think that it's going to move that direction. So there's a lot of algorithmic envy over on the podcasting side right now, because I think a lot of people have always complained that discovery has been a problem with episodes of podcast content, where you look at what YouTube's doing and it's driving interest chart or interest graph around individual pieces of content, right? One video it analyzes and finds audience for, where podcasting, it's like a series of episodes and you just cross your fingers that you're actually going to find a listener to that content. So I think that the path of creating content now is really human focused currently, and it will be that way for some period of time. And using AI as a way to make that human experience and value better is how I'm using it. So it's an additive, not a replacement for necessarily, but there is going to be a lot of content, just like what you just said. There is going to be a lot of content that is a replacement for humans. Will look like a regular human. It'll talk like, I mean, I know podcasters that are creating shows now that have a cloned version of the host that joins the human host on the same show. Wow. And so there's like two hosts that look identical to each other, but one's fully cloned AI that's been trained on that human, and the other one is real human. And so you can see it in real time, what that contrast is of how it works. And sometimes you can't really tell the difference between the two of them. And I think that's what's really interesting about the pathway that we're seeing with the cloned human type of content.
Nice. Love it. You mentioned about value, but I want to touch something different. How to create non-boring podcasts? I mean, like, value, of course, is a must-have, because if people are listening to any podcast, they need to get value. But
what is value?
Right. Yeah. But if it's boring, nobody will listen to that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Tell.
Well, I mean, what's I mean, you have to be really frank about it and say, you know, content is a very subjective business, right? I mean, what one person sees as boring is another person's show that's fun and entertaining and is getting something out of it. So that's where this algorithm that we're talking about, the AI or whatever, is trying to figure that out, right? Is trying to find people that will find this content interesting and valuable out there based on their interest graph, right? And that's why we're seeing a lot of people start to say that YouTube and Instagram and LinkedIn and all those are really based on interest now. It's not a social media platform. It's an interest media platform. And podcasting is kind of getting lumped into that right now. So all of us are driven by our interests, and the AI is out there trying to find what those interests are and match it up with the content. Because before that, humans were having to follow their interests to find content. And that wasn't very efficient.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I agree. Especially, I think like TikTok changed the game. When TikTok started to show content for accounts with zero followers. And even today, some accounts can get a lot of engagement. I remember a great story about Lloyd Richards. Basically, he published a book and he couldn't sell this book for around 11 years. So he tried some marketing, sales, but nobody bought this book, probably some small sales. Then his daughter posted content on TikTok about this book. And this video became viral. I watched this video, plus 55 million views. And today this book is the bestseller on Amazon. So one TikTok video changed the game. And after that, when TikTok became a thing, many other social media like LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, I can't say they took all this algorithm, but they started to consider more interest. I think the most important metric today, retention rate. I think like if you retain longer, then all these platforms can earn a lot more money. So
it's all about now. It's all about grabbing people's attention at the beginning, teasing them with information that they may have an interest in, not giving it to them right at the beginning, but just tease them about what's to come later in the content, right? So there's But that's been around radio and podcasting for many years. I mean, a lot of people don't do it, but it's you know, this whole concept of a tease about what's coming later in the content. But you got to make sure that tease is something that will interest someone, right, to keep listening. But yeah, that's how all this content is being evaluated now. And it's been evaluated like that in the podcasting space to some degree, but it's always been kind of at the fringes. It's like, if you wanted to find out how your audience is listening through your content, you could go to like Apple Podcasts and log into their platform, and you could see where people, you know, start watching and then they drop off along the timeline of the content. And you can see that in YouTube as well. And those are the metrics that they're tracking now. They're tracking like how many people click on the thumbnail or the artwork to promote the show and the titles and stuff. And they're evaluating that. And then they're tracking, you know, when somebody clicks on that, what's their behavior after they click the play button. And if in most videos see a sharp fall off in the first 30 to 60 seconds of the show. And so that's what's driving people to try and do this teasing at the beginning to get people to continue watching. And I think that's going to increasingly come into the podcasting space too, on the audio side too. So people are going to, you know, learn from what we've learned from the video side of what YouTube has done. And it's going to help people create content that is more engaging and gets people consuming it longer.
Awesome. Rob, let's imagine you started today without any skills, experience, just your first day, and you have passion. So you love it, you have passion, and you want to start your podcast without having audience, without having recognition, just beginning. What will you do today if you need to start everything from scratch?
Yeah, I would just start really simply, just to say that, because it's a very complex landscape right now, of lots of different ways of doing things, lots of different platforms, lots of different types of formats. Probably the best place to start right now is just taking your iPhone and creating some vertical videos. Don't make it complicated, make them, you know, like 2 minutes long, and then just, you know, publish them into TikTok, get them into Instagram, get them into YouTube as a place to start. And it doesn't have to be long form content. Just try and package together a compelling, thought-provoking and value-packed short piece of content is probably the easiest way to get started right now. And then evolve yourself into doing longer form content that could be a podcast. It could be a 10 to 20 minute YouTube video, and just evolve yourself into that. And then taking that content, putting it out as an audio podcast, and kind of evolving what you're doing. But use the tools that you have right now. Most everybody has a smartphone that can create compelling, fantastic sounding, fantastic looking content right now. You don't have to invest in a bunch of equipment. Just make sure when you do this that you're in a well-lit area, and that the framing of you in the vertical video is good. And you could probably use one of these, you know, platforms, AI platforms that can help you layer on top of the video, like maybe a transcript kind of reading, because a lot of people consume content on their mobile phones when the mobile phones are muted because they're in, let's say, a public place and they don't want to have the audio playing loud. So that would be what I would do to get started, and then evolve into these other forms of media as you get more confident, as you build out the concept of your show and the idea behind it and why you're doing it. I think at the end of the day, it's really along that path that'll help you. Just doing the vertical videos about whatever topic you want to talk about will help you formulate what your passion is, what's your genre of content that gets you excited, that you're seeing some engagement out there. And I think that's a good way to test test the waters about what you're doing and what your thoughts are and how you present yourself and learn about that process.
Yeah, I love it. I think without passion, don't do anything.
Right. Well, everybody has passion for something, right?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like, I see when people are doing something because competitors do, so just to replicate, but it doesn't mean you need to try to do something in their strong side. You need to find your strong side. Probably you're good with writing or video.
Don't be scared that, you know, what you have to say isn't valuable or that you don't bring enough value or whatever you want to talk about in your show is somehow not worthy of what you're doing. I think that's a self-defeating way of thinking about it. Each one of us, and this is what the distinction of this whole spoken human thing is, that's what's different. The more AI that comes in to these platforms, the more there's going to be a need for human content, right? That's authentic and real with life experiences and life perspectives and emotion and those kind of things I think are important. So those will grow in their importance. We may see some people kind of drop off from creating content because of AI, because they're going to say, well, I can't compete against, you know, these perfect presentations that are being created by these cloned artificial humans that are out there. And there's going to be a factor to that. But I think you can compete with that, but you really have to focus on being the best presenter that you can, I think, if you're going to compete with this. Because those AI bots are going to be perfect, right? Or they're going to be too perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I think the big funny thing is that, are we going to see the distinction between AI and human is that somehow there's flaws? I know I spent many years doing a nationally syndicated radio show, and I worked really hard in the post-production to make sure that it was as perfect as possible, right? But so it sounded great. But we may be coming into an era where those imperfections are where the value is for humans. So it's like, it's okay to have some ums and ahs and that kind of stuff in your content, where the AI is absolutely not going to have any of that unless they build AI to have human flaws in it, which is certainly technologically possible.
Yeah, awesome. Rob, let's talk about your podcast. Can you give me a strong reason to listen to your podcast? Because when I open Apple Podcasts or Spotify, I have a million options, a lot of different podcasts. It starts from Joe Rogan to many small podcasts. So What kind of value I can get by listening to your podcast, and all my audience can do this the same?
Well, for one thing, the podcast hasn't actually officially launched yet. So it's still in the pre-launch phase. So I'm building it out and creating all the infrastructure for it. So the name of the new podcast is going to be called Spoken Human. And it's a podcast that's really going to focus on this intersection between humans and AI, and where that path is going to take us. You know, many years ago, like 20 some years ago, I did a nationally syndicated radio show called Web Talk, which is very similar in the context of what it was trying to accomplish. It was talking about the development and growth of the World Wide Web and the internet in the early years, and trying to help audiences understand what was happening with that and how to navigate it, right? And what was coming. More of a kind of a future looking kind of way for people to become more knowledgeable about what was happening with the World Wide Web and the internet, and what wireless technology was going to, what changes that was going to bring. So Spoken Human is very similar to this from the standpoint of trying to say, you know, I'm a human being, and here I have this AI that's trying to compete with me. How do we navigate that relationship, and what's the best use case, or what's the best way for humans to maintain their meaning and their relevancy in the context of this threat or perceived threat of AI replacing us somehow? So how do we navigate our lives to kind of push back against that and while at the same time kind of embracing it. And so it's a complicated subject, but I think as time goes on, it's going to become a topic that people are going to really have to deal with. Just like what you said earlier, is that there's all these companies that are Microsoft and all this stuff are laying people off because there's processes that they can replace internally with AI. So how do we have to adjust our human skills and our human abilities and our human ways to still remain important in this new technological age, not unlike what happened back in the early years of the internet?
Yeah, nice. Rob, it's a big pleasure to get on my show, to learn from you. I love this experience. Tell more for my audience how they can reach out to you, to learn more from you.
Yeah, I have a website, robgreenlee.com. And that's two E's on the end, Rob Greenlee. And you can certainly send me an email. It's just robgreenlee@gmail.com. And I do have a podcast network called adorenetwork.com. And I'm also the chairperson of the Podcast Hall of Fame. And so you could check that out if you want to. And that's coming up. I'm also in the Podcast Hall of Fame myself. And if you just go to podcasthall.com, you can see that whole event, and it's coming up in January down in Orlando. But that's the best way at this point. And I'll post some information about my new show when it launches here soon off my website, and I'll do some PR announcements about it too. Wow. Once it launches.
Yeah, let me know when it's ready. I will share with my audience. So guys, I subscribe. So I recommend to anyone to subscribe to Rob to keep listening, to learn more, because AI is coming and we need to find a way how to stay humans, you know, and win humans, because I don't care if I can win some AI robots.
Yeah, well, I think the key takeaway is to just become your best human, right? Yeah. In the best ways that are important to you in your life. Don't cave into being 100% dependent on AI. I think I use AI as a time saver, as an efficiency boosting. But what it gives me is not necessarily what I use in any context. Straight out of the prompt results. I edit it. Awesome. I change it. Because it needs to have that human voice behind it to be authentic.
Of course. Yeah, it's important. I remember when one copywriter said to me, it's not my fault that ChatGPT generated this useless text. I replied, no, it's your fault.
Because you didn't look at it and apply your human intuition and your human knowledge to that.
Of course. Right. That is why I still cooperate with experts. So because experts can write the right prompts and can edit them to get quality. So I can help to save time, but it's not one golden button when you click and get everything what you need. It's not ready yet. Yeah. So yeah, we need to try this.
I don't know if it will be ever at that same level. That's the thing, is that AI is not human. It doesn't have that experience, that life experience, and it doesn't have the emotion. It's missing things that humans have that I just don't see it having anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to make this forecast, but I remember when ChatGPT became, I think, like 2 or 3 years ago, and many told this tool doesn't have emotions, but a few texts, some novels ChatGPT wrote, and people cried when they read it. So probably.
Right. I mean, it can create emotion, but doesn't itself have any emotion to put behind it is the other thing, right? Or is it just parroting what its algorithm is telling it to do? Right?
Of course. Rob, thanks a lot for your time, for sharing all these valuable bombs. Guys, you will find all links in the description below. Subscribe to Rob, listen to his podcast when a new podcast will come. So I will share on my LinkedIn. So stay tuned and keep learning, because AI is coming. Okay, guys, love you. See you.
All right. Thank you.